from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Oh, just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep.
Yep. You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your question?
On 95.7 The Game.
That's right. Ramona's here again. We're going to ask her to name names. Who's getting traded where and when and why and how and all of that stuff. Now, it may not be like that, but we always love having Ramona Shelburne of ESPN on, number one. And number two, to do it on a week like this where the draft has just been completed and free agency is upon us is a real treat. Hey, Momo, how we doing?
What's going on?
A lot, or maybe about to be a lot. Everybody's going crazy up here. I know you get it. You've been among the dialed-in reporters who have all said the Warriors are knocking on every important door. So yeah. Where does it sit? Let's start with Paul George. How likely of a scenario do you see that one as?
I mean, I had somebody pretty close to this describe this is more of a long shot. Just because it's complicated, right? And, you know, the Clippers, they don't have to do anything. They can just sit back and kind of dare him to leave. You know, if they know their guy and they think he really just wants to stay in L.A. or stay on the West Coast, they don't have to trade him anywhere. The only thing that gets a little weird is if he opts in, and then we'll know that by Saturday, right? That's the opt-in day, the 29th. So if he opts in, then you go, well, that's kind of interesting. You know, he can still do the extension with the Clippers. Then he kind of comes off the board for the cap space team, unless they do a sign and trade there. But I think the Warriors obviously have interest in that. They're trying to surround Steph and Draymond and whoever else is left, right, with talent and give Steph. It's really, I mean, I say Steph and Draymond, but it's Steph, right? As long as you have Steph, you got to give him a roster that's not going to finish 10th and be in the play-in every year.
If we do get to that sign and trade portion of the show, is the Chris Paul contract still live in the trade game for a team like the Clippers or another team that might be looking to bring that in as either an asset or as a contract?
I think that's still live. I mean, you know, there's a lot of teams that now have to figure out where they are money-wise, right? Now the draft is done, the trades that have happened and not happened, still an attractive contract. Plus, I think Chris Paul can still kind of play, you know? I mean, I think the Warriors would like to have Chris Paul back. I just don't know if they can do $30 million again. But there's a set of scenarios where they can extend him out. They can extend the deadline that they have to do that. It would take his agreement on that, but they can, you know, they have the luxury of time here. They don't have to do it right in the next day or two.
Ramona, if we go with the source that you sort of mentioned, that the Paul George idea is complicated and a bit of a long shot, to what level is there a pivot, and what other possibilities at a high level are out there?
I think they just have to keep working at it, right? Like, how can I phrase this? I think there is a pivot. I think that there are still a lot of players out there, whether or not they fit what the Warriors do, I'm not sure. Right? You know, like, you'll hear a Brandon Ingram's name out there. Well, he didn't really work out on the Olympic team with Steve Kerr, right? So I don't know about that one, okay? But there's still a lot of really good players that that they can go target, and none of it has to be done now. I just keep coming back to that. You know, it doesn't all have to be done in the next 2 days. It can take a minute, and I think that's an interesting wrinkle here, right? Because you know, there's the Klay Thompson situation. I think that'll get settled fairly quickly, whether he stays in Golden State or goes. I used to think he was definitely staying. Now I'm not so sure. You know, just based on how this whole thing has gone and how you know, other offers he may have. But there's there's guys like KCP out there that are interesting. They don't have the cap space for that, but they do have young players that people like, and I don't think they have to trade all of them to even get good players. I think there's a lot of options for the Warriors, and that's not easy to do in today's NBA, is to leave yourself this many options.
Ramona, why do you think the Klay Thompson thing happens quickly, and why are you less confident in a return?
There are only a couple teams with the cap space, right, to sign him to something like a little larger, and I think the cap space dries up pretty quick, right? There's only a couple teams that would fit there. And then everything else would be sort of a mid-level, right? So there's not much to decide except for where you want to go. The Warriors, I think the Warriors do have an interest in bringing him back. But what is that, you know, is that happening before they deal with the other four or five options that are out there? I don't see that. I think they have a few other things to try to get done that may or may not happen, right, before they deal with Klay, and let's see how long he waits.
And the timing of it's fascinating because I think the Chris Paul money becomes guaranteed tomorrow. So you'd mentioned that they don't have to do anything right away, but don't they have to essentially have a good idea of what they can do with Chris Paul's contract if, in fact, they guarantee it tomorrow?
Yes, except they could, if I understand this correctly, I think they can extend that deadline. If he agrees, he would have to agree. But if I'm Chris Paul, I think I would agree. I think, if there's a chance I still get to make $30 million next year, heck yeah, I'm going to agree. You know, it makes sense, right?
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. What would you say collectively about the Warriors' young assets and the Warriors' willingness to include them in current talks?
I would say Kuminga. Everybody asked for Kuminga and Pajemski, and the Warriors say no. Like they don't want to include those two young guys in any trades. Now, is there a trade that could move that needle? I'm sure there is. There's Giannis or something, right? But it's pretty close to untouchable. In terms of Kuminga and to some extent Pajemski.
We've heard reports that the team is, quote, aggressively shopping Andrew Wiggins. Are there aggressive buyers? And what do you think the market is to acquire Andrew Wiggins this year?
He's not that high, right? He had a pretty bad season. And he actually has a pretty good contract, you know, in terms of if you think that he can bounce back and have another good year, his contract is not too bad. So I think there is a market. It's just not something that it should have been based off of where he was a couple of years ago. There's not a lot of people clamoring for that right now. That's just a salary match, and there's several years left on that, so that's a tougher one to do. And I think a lot of teams also, you know, there's just not a lot of players in that salary range right now. You know what I mean? There's a year like you're either a max. Or you're a mid-level guy. But there's not a lot in between, and so you have to aggregate things, you have to put things together. And my head doesn't fit all this information yet, but they did something today that with their 52nd pick where they traded it and then they got it back, and then now I think they're first and second apron or something, and I don't know what that means yet. I haven't called Bobby or read enough of the breakdown, but I think they made it a little harder on themselves by doing that.
Yeah, what, by the way, they did. They're hard cap now, second apron. What, and again, I'm gonna, I heard what you said. You haven't done doesn't it seem at least like that makes large scale moves less likely?
Yes, before the new year. But again, I'm not the right person to ask. You gotta call like Nate Duncan or something for that. You know, like call Nate or call Bobby or something. This new cap is new for all of us, and I don't know exactly. I keep hearing it's coming, but it hasn't hit yet.
Right.
And it's the new year, and it's all that stuff.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN, with us here on 95.7 The Game. Ramona, I want to go back to your comment about moves for the Warriors don't have to happen now. And sort of explore more what you mean by that. Like, is this something that you're thinking, if it's not now, this could be trade deadline stuff? What are you saying there?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I think Golden State has done is they've really preserved optionality for as long as they can. And when you have a player like Wiggins, where his value is pretty low right now, I mean, I suppose he could go lower, but most likely it's going to rebound a bit. When you have younger players like Moody, who, if Klay Thompson is not back, then I think Moody plays a bigger role, and he's a really good player. They don't have to be in a huge hurry here. I just don't understand everything that happened with the second apron yet, so I can't. Right? It seemed like a thing that they did today, following all the people who were talking about which pick goes where and who traded this, and then. All I know is Bobby Marks tweeted that they invoked the first and second apron things, and that's not good.
Right, and probably good for Joe Lacob, because now I was telling Mark there's no more temptation to overspend and get in above that second apron. Now they absolutely can't do that. As far as trade targets, do you think that they might eventually be in that second and third tier and maybe trying to acquire multiple players who are maybe not top of the marquee, but guys who can come in and be at least rotational and maybe making about 20 million.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the new NBA. I mean, if you look at the last two teams that won, it's not, I mean, look, Jokic and Murray are great. Tatum and Brown are great, but are outside of, okay, Jokic clearly is a top five player in the league, but are the other ones? You know, like, it used to be like you had to have two or three, like, top five players. And now it's, you got to have a squad. It's about the whole team. And I think that's kind of new. And the depth matters. Now, let's go all the way back to strength and numbers Warriors. Like, obviously, obviously they know that. That's how they've won a lot of titles. But they also had Steph Curry and Klay Thompson at that point. But I think top to bottom, they just need more offense out of anybody not named Steph. I mean, that was the takeaway from last year, right? Well, one of. It just can't be Curry versus everybody every night. And is Kuminga there yet? I don't know. When will he get there? Hard to say. It's time to fortify that second scorer role.
Ramona, I wonder also, just based on what you're saying to us right now, like, what do you think the likelihood is that the Warriors come back in October with a roster that looks pretty similar to what they've already got?
I think there was off-season plans and off-season. Let's factor this in, Mark. You just can't spend as much money on a roster and finish 10th like they did last year.
Right.
You can't do that. And so there's a sense like you got to do something different. Like you've seen what the year before, what were they? They're still in the play-in tournament. I think they were seventh or eighth.
Oh, they were six. They were six, and they beat the Kings and lost in the second round.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But either way, like, this is way too expensive of a team to be finishing the play-in like they did last year. That can't continue. So, how big of an overhaul can you do? How much is it about giving other people different roles? How much is it about completely recasting the team? I think they had a lot of different plans. They put, A, B, C, D, E, F, right? I don't know where they are on the plans that might work or not work. I said on NBA Today the other day, name a high profile trade target, a free agent. They've made some calls. Kevin Durant, they've called. You know, Paul George, they've called. Right? I mean, this is where they are. Every big name, Larry Markkinen, they've called. But, you know, you can't make other people trade you things, the players, right, if they don't want to. You can't always find the right match there. So I think it's, you know, what can they actually pull off? We'll see. They got a couple of big deadlines coming up starting tomorrow.
You speak of these offseason plans kind of in past tense. I don't know if that was intentional or not.
Well, just because we've gone through the draft now. I guess it's not past tense because the offseason hasn't really started yet outside of the draft. But, you know, every time a moment of leverage goes by, so the Warriors kept, they used a pick. So that's one less asset that they have, right? They use picks, so that's one less thing they can put in a potential deal. That's one point where guys get traded. There weren't any really huge trades besides the McCall Bridges trade for the draft.
Yeah, it seemed like it was somewhat of a quiet draft until today when the Lakers really shocked everyone by going out on a limb and taking Bronny James. What's your takeaway with the Lakers taking LeBron's son? Is it a throwaway pick or, you know, like second-round picks? Or could he actually maybe be a player someday?
It's really interesting. I don't know if he can be a player. I think he... You know, Michael Thompson and I were on radio today in L.A., and he goes, you know, I think he's kind of like Gary Payton III, you know, Gary Payton II. He's kind of like, he obviously has the genes. He has, you know, he has the basketball IQ, he has the athleticism. Is he going to be an all-time leading scorer? Probably not. But could he be a nice rotational player in the league? Maybe. And I'm on the side of, okay, yeah, there's nepotism involved here. There, obviously, you know, would he be getting drafted if he wasn't LeBron's son? Probably not. But I don't think there's any harm in taking a late second round pick flyer on him if it keeps your best player happy, and it's really a nice story for the league, right? I mean, do people get on the Bucks for having Thanasis on the team with Giannis? I mean, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool to have a father and son on the same team like this. And you know, I went through and I looked up number 55 picks overall. Okay, there's two of them that stood out to me. Two. Patty Mills was number 55 overall, and Luis Scola, like back in 2002. So we went pretty far back, last 20 or something years. Interesting, right? Like it's most of the time, this number 55 pick doesn't even make the roster. I think Bronny probably will, or he'll be in the G League for part of the year. But it's a good story. It's you know, giving LeBron what he's kind of always dreamed about. He's talked about this for years. I don't think there's any harm in it. And, you know, if there was some guy on their board that was still there at 55 and they passed on him, okay. Maybe there's a Jokic that got picked at 58. Maybe McCullers or something is going to be great, right? But I don't think it's hurting anybody. And I think most of the reaction against this is just people who don't like LeBron.
Is KD staying in Phoenix?
I think so. Yeah, I think this is an ego thing. I don't think Ishbia is ready to move off that yet.
Okay. What do you think the Jimmy Butler situation? What's your take on that?
I think he stays in Miami. I don't think he wants to get traded. He may not do a new deal now. He may just stay there and play it out. But I feel like he stays. I don't think that moves all that much. The ones that I think will be interesting, the big dominoes really are Paul George. And whether he stays, if he leaves the Clippers, that changes the whole Western Conference, right? Depending on where it goes, might change the Eastern Conference. Klay Thompson is a pretty big domino in my world. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, those three players in terms of free agents that could move or could shake things up. Those three, I think, are that really could change the complexion of the Western Conference we've been watching the last.
What about
5-10 years?
Medium dominoes, and I'm fascinated by the Atlanta Hawks because they've got four or five guys in the $20 million range. Are they going to part with DeJounte Murray or Bogdanovich? Could one of those guys maybe pop free?
It makes sense, right? I mean, I feel like DeJounte is probably the guy because he has more trade value than Trae Young. Trae makes a lot of money, and so it's harder to move that contract. It's not that he's a better player. It's just the contract. And you have to kind of build your team around him. You're not trading for him to be your, you know, your fifth list best player. You're trading for him to be your first or second best player. So I don't know. There's a few other salaries out there that are interesting. Like, what does Brooklyn do now? It looks like they're in sort of fire sale mode. Do they find a taker for Ben Simmons? Is that a get out of jail free card for somebody? Is that interesting? Cam Thomas, they have a couple good players on that team that could, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith, those are good rotation players. I think Dallas is an interesting team to watch. Obviously, they were in the finals, and they're probably one more transaction cycle away from doing what they, you know, from what they need. And so it's an interesting, I think this whole thing is, this whole next week or so, free agency is, There's a lot of teams that are motivated to do things. Plus, we really don't know what this new CBA is about to do. Like, and I don't know if we'll have the answers in 3 days or 3 months, but it is really forcing teams to draw lines in the sand in ways that they haven't before.
Ramona Shelburne, ESPN. Ramona, we will let you leave us with this. Our audience, obviously filled with tons of Warrior fans. I'll just make this very broad. What would you tell them to sort of expect in the next week, in the next 2-3 weeks?
A great effort to improve the team around Steph. Whether or not it's successful, I don't know. How's that?
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. I
think they owe it to Steph. I really do. I think they feel very strongly they owe that to him.
Yeah. No, that much is clear. I just think all of the talk from you know, those NBA insiders about big game hunting has Warrior fans kind of braced for something big, and I don't know if they're going to get it.
Yeah, they still got to pull it off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, look, the Knicks were waiting for years and years and years. So what are they going to spend their picks on? What are they going to trade their pick? Which star are they going to get? And at the end of the rainbow was Mikal Bridges. Good player. I like it. I like the trade. But, is that what they were thinking all those years? I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Ramona, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You got it, boys.
Okay.
Awesome.
Ramona Shelburne.
As
ESPN.
Always. Yeah. Bringing it. The expert insight. I love it. I'm having this slight fascination with the Atlanta roster.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of stuck in the middle, and you look at their team and they've got a bunch of contracts that you might want to move off of. And DeJounte Murray is the one that, not a perfect player, but a guy who you would have team control over for 4 years. Good score. If you're looking to replace Klay Thompson, he's not the same 3-point shooter, but he can definitely be a scorer. And if we're not going big game hunting and we're going medium game hunting, he might fit that bill.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know. Just a name.
I hear you. Listen, a great effort.
Well,
that's what we're expecting. A great effort. And look,
she said it like, you can't make other teams trade their players.
You can't. Yeah. You cannot hold a gun to someone's head and be like, give me your Durant.
Right.
Right. And so she thinks Durant's going to stay. She thinks Butler's going to stay. The Paul George thing is a feather in the wind. But even if it does blow, does it go the Warriors' way? She said that she's been told that feels like a bit of a long shot. You and I had talked earlier about, I felt at least, those who want Paul George on the Warriors, it just feels too public to me. Like, that's not the way these teams usually operate. And if Paul George was going to come to the Warriors, and maybe he will, but if he was going to come to the Warriors, wouldn't it be a little bit more silent than this? Brian Windhorst pushing everything toward the Warriors, to me, made it feel like an agent was calling someone and trying to get a narrative out there rather than it actually happening. So I'm not taking any of these things off of the board, but you take what Ramona said and you go back to Mike Dunleavy earlier in the week talking about how trades are hard. I think they're going to knock on every door. They're going to try like crazy, but a Warrior fan should probably brace themselves for the idea that this doesn't look all that different. And what if the only big difference is that Klay's not on the team? Like, I'm starting to look at the landscape and go, okay, if KD's staying and Jimmy's staying and Paul George is a, a long shot. And Ramona says, Clay thing's going to happen quickly, and it's spinning away from the Warriors more than it was. Let's add all those things together, and now look at what the Warriors did today. They bought a draft pick, which hard caps the second apron, $189 million. Can't go over it. It's illegal. Even if Joe wanted to, it's now illegal. Add all those things together, and I would say, without knowing what's going to happen next, but those of you who are in favor of some sort of youth movement might feel pretty good today.
Yeah, get ready for your youth movement. And if it is a youth movement, and if it's Dario Saric out, Chris Paul out, Klay Thompson out, and three young new players in, well, you may want to brace yourself for another trip to the play-in tournament, because I don't know if you can get better by not adding anybody other than three younger players. And I do think tomorrow becomes maybe the biggest day in the cycle. And Ramona's right. They could delay the Chris Paul guarantee, and that might be the news that comes today, or it might be the news that comes tomorrow, that Chris Paul and the Warriors have agreed to move that deadline to July 4th, July 5th, giving the Warriors time to continue to consummate a deal. But I'm afraid that if you find out tomorrow that the Warriors have released Chris Paul, that to me would signal to everyone that they won't be going big fish hunting.
I agree with that. I think that if you're excited by the idea of a bigger name joining the Warriors, I think if you hear tomorrow that the Warriors have just flat waived Chris Paul, that's a bad sign.
Right.
That's a bad sign. That's a big contractual weapon that they will just be letting go. It was interesting, Ramona saying, you know, here's the other thing about Chris Paul. He can still play. I know Monty Poole told us that 99.9% chance, or something like that, that Chris Paul's not going to be on the Warriors this year, and I'll still definitely buy that. But Ramona seemed to be indicating, you know, you wonder if there's a pivot there. You wonder if there is... I don't know. Do you decline but re-sign at a lower rate? I don't know. But right now, this changes every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But as we sit here at 5:28 on Thursday night, I'm feeling very much like things are pushing in the direction of save money and elevate youth. Those are again, ask me again at 5:38.
I will, because we'll still be on the air.
Yeah,
but
not at 5:40. I'll be in the restroom at that time.
That's why I'm starting to think about more of the medium fish, and I'm looking at Atlanta, and I was mentioning how I'm kind of fixated because you've got Trae Young, who is mostly unmovable. She's right.
Yep.
But you've got Capella expiring at 22, DeAndre Hunter, three more years at 21, Bogdanovich is making 17, DeJounte Murray's got four more years, but he's in the 20s. Feels to me like Atlanta's going to be a team looking to move off some money and try to start their roster churn a little bit. So who might be the player that they want to get rid of, and would they be interested in bringing Chris Paul's contract in, getting that off the books, and, you know, saving some money as they try to figure out what their next version of themselves is going to be.
The other problem with this is just the way we operate as fans and media, which is that we're given an idea, and then I'm not saying that this is some sort of bad thing. It's just the way our brains operate. It's fun to think about ideas. And when somebody sort of puts some credibility on those ideas, it feels like an expectation gets built. Even though the team never did that, we could play the sound for you from Mike Dunleavy to Larry Harris to Kirk Lacob. They have all spoken on this station this week and said the exact same thing. Sure, we're swinging for a home run. We're the Warriors, but it's hard to do, and I certainly wouldn't expect it, and we really like the players that are currently on our team. They've all said the exact same thing. That is to under-promise and over-deliver. So let's just focus on under-promise. The Warriors have under-promised. Now take this feeling, though, and look at what has happened in recent years with the San Francisco Giants. I would argue that they've largely had the same tone. We are going to swing for the fences. in free agency and do our best. And then it was whiff and whiff and whiff. And what did people say? Well, the Giants are just out here promising us big names, and they didn't give them to us. They didn't promise anything. They tried. Nobody gives many points for trying. I wonder how this will sound with the Warriors. Maybe they will land one of the fish. But my point is to say, it now sort of feels like, after 3 days of Paul George talk, it sort of feels like Warrior fans have been promised something that has very, very much not been promised.
Right.
And so you may walk away with exactly what was the very likely result, but feel disappointed. I do think the Warriors are in a tough spot with regard to that.
Well, the fans can build up their hopes how they want to build them up. And because of Kevin Durant so many years ago, when you got the big fish, the biggest of all fish, and he brought you two titles, now you've grown to expect that in many ways from Joe Lacob, because he's done big things. And they turned Kevin into D'Angelo Russell, and they turned that into Andrew Wiggins, and Andrew Wiggins won a championship. And now what can they do with Andrew Wiggins and Chris Paul's contract? And they've done big things around here, so whether or not they overpromise or underpromise, they have delivered a lot of big moves.
Sure.
And now you're in a spot where you're trying to elongate the Steph Curry window, and you look at the roster as is, coming off a 10 seed, and you realize the only real way to do that is going to be to go out there and swing a trade. And if these big names are out there, you know that Joe Lacob's aggressive, so you start to get your own hopes up. No matter what Larry Harris says, or Mike Dunleavy, or anybody, Steve Kerr, whatever, fans are going to think what they want anyway, because used to it. We're used to this team doing big, bad, bold things.
Well, getting your hopes up, that's just, I mean, that's sports, right? So, like, yeah, mine are too, and I totally get it. Interesting comments from Ramona about, hey, the Warriors will always try to swing big, but it doesn't have to be today.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be this week. I wonder how all of us feel about that idea of taking a roll of the dice. If they're aggressively trying to shop Andrew Wiggins right now and they're not getting responses that they want, or any responses at all for that matter, we do know that Andrew Wiggins, while frustrating and inconsistent in all of the things, we do know that Andrew Wiggins is a good basketball player. He's a talented basketball player whose value right now sits probably at its absolute lowest of his entire career. Would it almost be the smart thing to do to roll him out for another half season and play Warrior basketball and see where that takes the situation? See where that takes his value. You know, it's kind of that double-edged sword. If he starts playing really well, you're like, well, then we'll keep him.
Yeah.
Because you got a couple more years on the deal even after this one. But if he does start to play better, maybe that's the way to go about doing it. Because it does feel like, I mean, unless he has, you know, he disappears again for family reasons or something like that, it does feel like that's low risk. I don't think his value is going to go even lower, is what I'm saying.
Probably not. And he has 2 years left in a player option, so really 3 more years.
Yep.
And the money's not a lot, 26, 28, and then 30 in the third year. So you can kind of work with that. And that's why I asked her about his trade value right now, and she said it's not good.
Yeah.
So he would have to be not the centerpiece, but an additional piece to anything you try to do. For me, it does just come down to the Chris Paul and the tradability of that contract if you want to really go on and land anything. Now, there is some free agency that you can get into for players in that $20 to $25 million range, and I don't know if that's going to be something that they look to do, because if you have Clay off the books and you have Chris Paul off the books, you do have a little bit of room. You have about $48 million to play with to stay below that second apron. And I know that Jonas Valanciunas from the Pelicans is going to be a free agent. The Lakers among the interested teams. Might he be a player that you would look to bring in, an actual true big, and a guy who can step out and shoot it as well?
Yep.
And he's going to be expensive.
Yep.
He's probably not going to be $40 million a year, but probably be up there about 30 or
something.
So.
Yeah, I don't know.
So that's expensive, but you know, if you don't make any moves in trades, you can be a player in free agency.
Let's go to the phones. Mac Zach in Oakland here with Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Mac Zach, what are you doing?
Oh, not too much. Yeah, fellas, there's a couple fans growing up in the town that I kind of make me think that it's over for this I's currently constructed. One is Euster is a rooster. And you don't eat rooster, you eat chicken. Roosters just make a bunch of noise. And the second one is the same thing it took to get your baby hooked is the same thing it takes to keep her. And we don't have $11 million Steph anymore. And I think the Warriors need to get ready to give the first 10,000 fans knee pads because we're going to suck.
That was, you're fine. You're fine.
That was
material.
Yeah, that was an amazing call. I didn't really gather what about 72% of it meant. There was something about a rooster.
You don't eat rooster, you eat chicken.
But you got to the end, and your point was the Warriors are going to stink.
Yeah.
And I would argue the same thing I'll say to anyone. Partially, this is just the way I look at sports, but I also think I've got some facts on my side right now. The answer is you don't know that because you don't know who's on the team right now.
Right.
So you can hand out knee pads.
First 10,000 fans.
I know you. Yeah. What about the other 10,000? I know.
Get there early.
I know that you think that that Steph Curry is old, and Steph Curry is getting old NBA style. Like that's all on the table. But I'm not going to sit here right now and start burying the Warriors' record when I don't even know who's on the team. I have no idea who's on these teams yet. So at minimum, we're going to have to get to the summit before we can start assessing what these teams look like. And that summit will be on July 8th. And you can go to 957thegame.com right now and reserve your free spot.
Get registered.
To join
get
us.
There. Get there early. Get there often. And yeah, by then, I think we'll have some idea. But it won't even be most likely a completely finalized roster.
No, and definitely not. Yeah,
especially when, you know, July 6th is when deals can actually be signed and consummated.
Can I change my bet, by the way?
What was the bet?
Remember?
Or the over-under.
We stuck the over-under on Clay, and Ramona suggests this is going to happen fast.
Yeah, no, you
that
can't change it. You bet the over.
I bet the over.
A card laid is a card play.
Well, can I hedge?
And you don't eat rooster, you eat chicken.
I could just bet the equal amount on the other side.
Well, that wouldn't be rooster. That would actually be chicken. So
yes, it would.
You can do that, though you'd lose the juice.
Yes, I would lose the juice.
The 10% au jus on the bet.
And I like the juice. I do like the juice.
How do you feel about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as a free agent piece?
I feel he'll be too expensive for the Golden State Warriors.
Again, you're going to have probably, if you don't have CP3 or Clay, you're going to have $45 million or so below that second apron.
Like he can shoot. Like, that's what they need.
And defend.
He can shoot. I like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. The fit right now is, I don't know, it almost feels problematic with a lot of guys. You know, obviously the Paul George idea, though, even if I'm starting to not buy how realistic it is, but, you know, that one would involve a lot of outgoing money. So that feels different. The free agency, sure. If you just waive CP, if you let Clay walk, do you have a little dough there? Sure. Sure.
I'll take
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on the team.
You'll still be in the tax, but you would be below the second apron because you have to be. If you went right up to the second apron, you've got about 45 or so million to play with.
Boy, it's going to be an interesting conversation on July 8th. We'd love for you to be there with us. Dibs and I are going to start right at 2 because that's when our show starts. That's what we do. But from 4 to 6 that day, the gang's all here. Bonte, Joe, Steiny, Goo, all there. Fremont Bank, 39150 Fremont Boulevard in Fremont. Space is limited, and we'd love to have you there. So you got to go reserve your free spot on 957thegame.com. More of your phone calls next on Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Woo-hoo! Oh, boy.
I'm braced for impact.
Well, and I'm after that impact, conversation man. With Ramona, it got me excited.
About what?
Because we're here. We're finally here.
Oh, you can feel it all week.
I know, but having that conversation and getting to the end of this day, and then tomorrow is the last day of this week, and by Monday, July 1, when it actually really begins, I'm excited because we've talked for, what, 2.5 months since the Warriors last played about all of the possibilities, the scenarios, the machinations, and here we are now, just one more show away from it actually unfolding.
Mm.
Or not.
I mean, again, like I acknowledge what we all do. And this is true for all three shows and just all Warrior fans. It goes hour by hour and is often based on the most recent insider guest that you have. And then they tell you something, and you're like, oh, okay, never mind. Paul George is not happening. And then the next person will, you know, Monty Poole will come on, and they'll be like, oh, it's increasing in possibility. Oh, hey, Paul George. Like, I get the vibe out of the Ramona conversation is that Jimmy Butler's going to stay with the Heat, and Kevin Durant's going to stay with the Suns, Lauri Markkanen's going to stay with the Jazz, and the Clippers are calling Paul George's bluff. And that means that thing is going to go down a road that is unlikely to lead to Golden State. I always think, though, if there's a big move, it's often one we don't see coming. You know, even if it's a rumored name, go back to Christian McCaffrey and the 49ers. That one knocked us off of our feet when it got broken on Thursday Night Football. You didn't hear for 4 weeks, well, the Niners and McCaffrey, and you know, they hear, oh, McCaffrey wants it, he's going to go to the night. Like, you don't get that. And so if you hear that, it tells me each time an agent has called a reporter and told the reporter this is what's happening, and I'm going to give it to you so you can report it. And that's not because it's about to happen. It's because they're trying to force negotiations in a certain direction.
Yeah.
So that's what the Brian Windhorst, Paul George thing now feels like to me. It doesn't mean the Warriors aren't about to make a big move. It just might be one that we don't see around the corner. Or, yeah, get ready for nothing. It might be nothing. And how would we feel if we get here? I won't be here 2 o'clock on Monday, but you get it. If we arrive on Monday and it's bupkis, the Warriors have agreed to a long-term deal with bupkis.
I like the player.
It could happen.
It could.
It really could.
And that would just be the opening of the period, so that wouldn't mean it's done. But if we get to the summit July 8th...
And bupkis is still starting.
That's right. And Clay is a Magics, and Chris Paul, they declined the contract, and now you've got Steph, Draymond, Wiggins, and all the rest of the fellas and these three new guys. The summit will be a little bit angry. It'll be an angry summit.
Well, again, yeah, you're like waiting for a story, and sometimes the story is that there's not a story. That in and of itself is the story.
Especially and when we're all waiting for something to be the story. If the story is nothing, and this is how much you got better on the edges with Lindy Waters III and Quentin Post, there's going to be a problem, Mark.
Well, I think what'll happen is, like, the fan base, at least for as long as that's reality, will trickle back down into the conversation that we were having 4 months ago, which is, are the Warriors actually good and they were just a couple Draymond suspensions away from being the four seed, or are they not? And one sort of like under the radar thing I keep hearing in listening to all of these people talk, even Ramona just said it, it's not so much like elevating the young players, but I've heard a couple people now talk about new roles. Same people, new roles, right? Like, who's the backup point guard? Is it Brandon Pajemski? Like, we need to, what's the new role there?
Who's the starting two guard?
Who's the starting two guard? Is Jonathan Kuminga a featured player within the offense? Is there a center now? Is that going to be something you do every night? Are you going to let Draymond play the four? All of these things, like, could the Warriors be looking at some of their acquisitions as people who are already on the team and simply putting them in a new light? I think that that's going to land as kind of like, sorry for the word, but boring to the fan base. I don't think that's what they're going to want to hear. The Warriors are going to have a difficult time pitching to the fan base, and I would think Steph Curry, the idea that, like, all we did was, like, have Clay and Chris leave.
But you've already heard that from the team. Everyone we've talked to has at least once mentioned the need to get better from within. And Steve said
for sure.
Steve's talked about how he needs to be better. And the young guys, the core four, the youngsters, they need to get better. Heck, everybody needs to get better. Draymond needs to be more available. And Andrew Wiggins needs to be able to play more games and all the rest of it. So they've already kind of message signaled that part of it. So even if they go out there and they do largely nothing in free agency and in trades, they've already kind of sent the signal that, you know, we need to get better.
Yeah.
And if that's all that it comes away with, that'll be a tough sell.
I mean, the news of Caldwell Pope being a free agent is an interesting one on two levels. Because if it is like just Chris Paul and Klay Thompson walk out the door and, hey, we got this guy Pope, and he's really tall. You know what I mean? Like, all of these things could be part of the story. But what if Kentavious Caldwell Pope and Klay Thompson just, what if they're just switching teams? What about that possibility?
Geez, and he becomes the Nuggets?
He wants to play for a championship.
Yeah.
He keeps saying that. And everyone keeps bringing up Orlando. And I'm like, gosh, Orlando's not winning the championship next year. That's not a thing. But if Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's going to leave the Nuggets, Klay Thompson?
Possibly. And then that might be a salary match because KCP has turned down 15.4. And I'm looking at Denver's numbers right now, and they're with Kentavious, they're at $190.9 million, which puts them right above that second apron. And if you took out KCP's 15.4, and assuming he doesn't re-sign there, and he's probably going to get more than that. But if Clay,
I believe that's why he's opting out.
Yes.
He believes that he's going to get more.
So,
yeah.
Well, also, he probably wants a long-term deal.
Yep.
But Clay would sign there for 15 and be a Nugget. It's a possibility.
I mean.
And the fact that Ramona said that she expects the Clay Thompson thing to happen quickly. And she did radio today with Clay Thompson's father.
Yes.
And I know they don't usually talk about business, but.
Except for that they do.
I know. And yeah, I would imagine.
I know you know, but yes, I want to make sure the audience knows that that was a sarcastic comment.
Right. And yes. Just the fact that she was pretty quick and almost offhanded about it, like, oh, that's going to get done quickly.
Yeah. Well, she said there's only so many teams that can fit him. And obviously the Warriors have got to go kind of figure out what they're going to figure out. And does it circle back to Clay or not? I mean, to me, that's actually kind of exciting because I don't think it's a good thing for either side if that drags. You know what I mean? Like, that's only going to become more angry, I would think. Clay Thompson is not finding what he wants on the open market. The Warriors are not able to land a big fish. But they keep telling Clay every day, July 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, Clay, just keep waiting. We're trying our 14th thing that doesn't include you, but we'll get to you. I promise. That feels like something that neither side wants to go through. So I will happily be wrong if the under hits on Clay's situation having clarity well before the summit on July 8th.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the way it goes because I'm getting the sense that the Warriors are in a wait and see mode about Clay Thompson. Like, they want him to wait and they want to see if they can do anything else. And just hearing Ramona earlier, sounds like Clay probably already has a pretty good idea of what's out there and where he might want to be.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, let's get Rich and Fremont on here and then we're going to get ready for Grandy and Giddings. Again, it's another day of the NBA draft. So,
okay.
Yeah, so E-Dog and Grandy are going to go all the way to 8 o'clock, take you all up there. Hey, Rich, what are you doing?
I'm looking at red lights and license plates trying to get home.
Damn it.
You guys.
Yeah, all right, we'll get you there.
Yeah, and I'm actually totally against them picking up Paul George. I really am. And the reason why I'm against it is because Paul George's psychological is not good, you know, when he loses. You know, he even admitted himself that he had this big loss, and he said that he was in a dark place. So it's like, okay, you know, and then you look at his track record during the playoffs. You know, he's not that great, all right? You know, he didn't do it well for Indiana. He comes to the Clippers, and it's pretty much a similar situation. So I'm kind of off. I'm off the table when it comes to Paul George. Now, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? Yes. Kevin Durant? Yes. But Paul George, that's a no for me, dog.
Bring it home, Rich.
It's really
Thank
good,
you.
Rich. Thank you very much. I think you're a little bit hard on Paul George, but at the same time, if that's how you feel, good day for you. Ramona tells us that is highly unlikely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow, man, can't wait till tomorrow to find out what else develops between now and then.
All right, what's coming up in the game, which, again, is going to be Mark Grandy and Evan Giddings, is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. They're going to take you all the way up to 8 o'clock. How much of that is going to be about Bronny James, Grandy?
I would imagine very little.
Okay, very little. Yeah. Good. This is going to be about the Warriors because we've got a lot of people who are in the know who had a lot to say today on 95.7 The Game, from Kirk Lacob to Trace Jackson Davis to Ramona Shelburne and more. So stay tuned for all of that with Grandy and Giddings. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I can't wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do it again tomorrow. It's Chris Paul Day tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
So here we go. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.